Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Switzerland! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Going to try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Thank you for tuning in tonight and listening to our podcast on the heels of the Wheelhouse. Our show, The Soccer Matters, always presented by the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit. Call in number tonight, 713-780-3776. 54 days to the World Cup. We are streaming at ESPN975.com. The station show is going to be your go-to for the World Cup coverage here in Houston. We are inching closer and closer. In fact, we're going to be profiling different teams as we head closer to the World Cup. We got a Manchester Derby on Sunday. Leagues will restart. But today we're going to do a lot of talk about the international break and results, including what was a very underwhelming performance here today from the U.S., and we'll take your phone calls at 713-780-3776 to get your reaction to this. Are you in panic mode? You in crisis mode? All of a sudden, our young, confident U.S. men's national team looks pretty tame after these two games and did not leave a good impression today here. Guests on the show today, we'll have former U.S. goalkeeper. He is legendary. Tony Meola will join us. In the next segment, we'll break down the U.S. team. I've done a 30-minute interview with Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. We will air that here tonight. There is everything you want in there. All about the coaching search. Will Kenny Bundy get the job? Talk of the Dynamo midfield. Where will Hector Herrera play in the future? How do they go about looking for a new coach? Pat and Asher Mendelsohn. It's all in there tonight. 30 minutes, very transparent from the general manager. It's everything you're going to want. So that is in there tonight. We got friendlies, Nations League matchups. We're going to break down the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, if there's anything to break down. Two games to go for the Houston Dynamo. Then they finish the following Sunday on decision day against the L.A. Galaxy. By the way, I don't know if anybody knows this, or maybe you have not been paying that close attention, but MLS and Apple are going into a television deal in the future. It means the end of local regional TV. So that will be the last game Eddie Robinson and I don't know if it's ever, but it's the last game Eddie Robinson and I will do on regional TV. Certainly until the Apple MLS deal ends. Just kind of wanted to put that out there. That's going to be an emotional day for me, I got to tell you, because Eddie and I have become good friends over 11 years calling games. I don't know how high profile. You know, we're not the Texans. We're not the Rockets. We're not the Astros. And generally, commentators in those sports get a lot more attention. But it'll be a big deal to both of us. I do know that. All right. Mexico fan, are you convinced? We've got decision day coming up for Major League Soccer. So we had U.S. Saudi Arabia this afternoon. We have Mexico and Colombia coming up at 9 o'clock, and then Honduras and Guatemala down at PNC Stadium. So there were some winners of our tickets there. Also, Eddie Robinson, Victor Ariza going to join us here a little bit later. So there is a lot to get into, but I think we're going to start off right away, just simply by talking about the U.S. Saudi Arabia. This was a brutal, uninspiring performance. It came out flat, nearly gave a goal up early, if not for a save from Matt Turner, who now has to be clearly the number one. By the way, if you have a take, 713-780-3776, but you just can't say Aaron Long's not going to the World Cup. So give me your solution. The center back position became very dicey once Miles Robinson got injured. And he's out for the World Cup. So Aaron Long, Mark McKenzie, they both get opportunity here today. Neither look particularly sharp. Do you bring John Brooks in at this time, who has played in a World Cup? The midfield, without Yunus Musah. You miss some creativity. You miss some drive into the attack. You miss a guy that can get you up the field. Didn't quite work as well with Kellen Acosta, Weston McKennie, and Tyler Adams. McKennie was trying to make deeper runs out of midfield with a higher line of Saudi Arabia. Wasn't effective. I was surprised the U.S. couldn't break them a little bit better. One of the great ways of, you know, breaking down a high line or getting behind it is to have deep runners coming out of midfield or somebody simply carrying a ball and running out of back four. But that was a problem today. The midfield missing Yunus Musah, who was apparently in Murcia watching that game because he does play in Spain. But you're missing the energy of Yunus Musah. You're also missing the energy of Anthony Robinson. Ricardo Pepi came on, limited involvement. I mean, not much. Jesus Ferreira came on. The U.S. turned over Saudi Arabia after a bad pass. I wouldn't say they turned it over. They were gifted an opportunity. Jesus hit it right at the goalkeeper. Question, do you bring in Jordan Pefok? Union Berlin, scoring goals, more of a target man, more of an aerial guy. So we remain, honestly, with the same questions. Now, let's talk about the energy, the lack of intensity, all these things that we saw in this game today that was pretty stunning to me when some of these players are trying to get to a World Cup. I mean, they seem to me to be acting as though they already made the roster, which... that's a bit crazy to me. Yeah, I saw a little energy from Joe Scally when he came on. There was a few that brought energy. But, boy, this was worrisome. Started with Matt Turner in goal, Sergiño Dest. Okay, so the left-back position is going to be all Anthony Robinson. And, by the way, he gets a lot of the ball for the U.S. Long and Zimmerman. Zimmerman needs that right compliment. That compliment was the composure and on-the-ball play of Miles Robinson, who got injured. DeAndre Yedlin worked hard. Tyler Adams always works hard. Not worried about him. McKennie works hard. But he's not in good form. There's a lot of these guys that aren't in good form and aren't playing consistently. Pulisic, McKennie. Reyna had to go out with a little bit of an injury. There's a lot of things here that are stopping and starting consistency, and you're going to hope that's going to occur here in the next 54 days, and you're going to hope this team will get together when they're at the World Cup, and because of the event that they're at, the biggest sporting event in the world, it will begin to crystallize and come back together. Now, lack of motivation, and I didn't hear any commentators talk about this, and I don't know why, but the lack of intensity and motivation also includes a coach, Greg Berhalter, who has been in this studio here at ESPN 97.5. So, you know, how much of that do you put on a manager? And then you hear the nonsensical people saying, oh, you know, we can fire him now and bring in Mauricio Pochettino. Oh, come, give me a break. He's the coach going to the World Cup. Saudi Arabia came out flying. Turner had to make an early save. He made a trio of good saves in this. Tyler Adams will do all those little things, covering for others. The deep runs were coming from McKennie. They were trying to break the high line, but this was poor. Had a goal line clearance in the 33rd minute. Were they emotionally connected? I mean, that's the thing that I'm worrying about. And look, if you're Fox and you got the rights to the World Cup, you were hoping for three or four goals today from the U.S. today, big hype, storylines that would be coming out. And really the storylines are, is this young team that we thought was so vibrant and confident, are they going to live up to it at the World Cup? I think we're concerned. There's players coming off injury. There's players that aren't in the best of form with their national teams. There's a lot going on. So here's soundbite number one. Greg Berhalter talking about the performance and what still needs to improve.
I think it was improved. I still think we're not as confident as I'd like. We're playing tentative. And you see, like, the connections are just, they're not there like we'd want. The effort was great today. The intensity was great, especially at the end of the game. You know, we kept pushing, kept trying to score. So, you know, I can't fault the effort, but we need to keep improving.
Okay, so let's go to Berhalter again, the team's lack of confidence. You have to ask, if he says the team's not confident, why?
I think in general, you know, it's nervy times. People are worried about being on the roster or not, and it's a difficult moment. But having said that, we just need to go out and play together. And so, you know, it's still, the confidence isn't there yet, but we'll get there.
So Greg also went on to talk about the number nine position.
It was tough. I mean, Jesus came on and got a couple chances. It was tough for Ricardo. He didn't get much service. He didn't get many chances. So, you know, it's really hard to evaluate players when they're not getting opportunities.
713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Are we in crisis, U.S. men's national team, after a 0-0 draw with Saudi Arabia? I don't think so. Do you? 713-780-3776. Here's Greg Berhalter on the message to the team now that the World Cup preparation is finished.
Well, now it's, okay, this camp is done, and when we get to Qatar, you know, be at ease, right? This is the team. The team's not changing after that, and we need to play our game, play with confidence.
Confidence. So that's going to have to be reclaimed. Man, maybe that's because there's players not in good form. Maybe McKennie not in good form at Juventus. Pulisic not in good form, and that comes via not playing a lot under Tuchel. There's talk of Pulisic and his agent being spoken to by Juventus. There's a lot going on with these players, but they certainly in these last two games have not given us a lot to really sink our teeth into when it comes to being confident. Now, they could go over to Qatar, whatever you want to call it. I've heard six or seven different ways it's pronounced. They could go over there, and things will crystallize. You got Gio Reyna, who's still trying to get himself to an area of fitness. He came off after 30 minutes. But, you know, to that statement by Greg Berhalter, this did look like a team that many of these guys felt like they were very secure in that they are going to the World Cup and they are making the roster. And, of course, there are the incumbents on there that we know are going to be a part of this, a large portion of these guys. Does Joe Scally go? Cardo Pepe, he's going. I mean, you heard Clint Dempsey on the pregame show. He's going. You know why he's going? Because he rescued you against Honduras in qualifying when things were not going well. So Ricardo Pepe, I'd be 100% surprised if he's not going. Jordan Pefock, could he go? Union Berlin, scoring goals. But I think two big misses were the energy of Anthony Robinson and Yunus Musa. I don't think there's any question. Christian Pulisic couldn't get untracked in this one. So, like your opinion, 713-780-3776. By the way, Carlos Quiroz is back with Iran now, and that will be one of the U.S. opponents in their group. They will get them third in group play. Quiroz, from 2011 to 2019, was the coach of Iran. He is back. He has been to World Cups. He knows the U.S. national team very, very well. He coached in Major League Soccer with the Metro Stars. In fact, with our next guest, Tony Miola, when he was in goal there. So that's interesting. He's back. And, you know, he'll know the U.S. A Mexico fan, are you convinced? England fan. I guess you're feeling good now because England scored a couple of goals in that second half. By the way, they've been relegated in Nations League. Haven't won in six. Should have won that game. Huge mistake by the Newcastle goalkeeper, Pope. All right. Taking a break, Tony Meola will come up next, the legendary U.S. national team goalkeeper. Quick word here for Vantage BMW in Midtown. You seek performance, find luxury at Vantage BMW in Midtown. You go down there, you're going to experience premium service tailored to you. Excellence at Advantage BMW, it's not just offered in Midtown, it's expected. Service Center is dedicated to putting your time first. You get to the expert sales team, Justin, Steven. They'll help you find the perfect new, certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. Get down there, discover something special. Advantage BMW, Midtown.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Carvajal up from right back. Has he got the right kind of cross? Williams! And smashed in by Morata! And is that the winner for Spain? It could well be!
Spain knocking off Portugal 1-0 here today. Morata with the goal. Nations League matches, friendlies. But we are sticking to U.S.-Saudi Arabia right now. Some of the headlines that came out today. U.S. whimper into World Cup. U.S. men's national team end international break with more questions than answers. U.S. World Cup worries grow. Lackluster U.S. held 0-0 by Saudi Arabia. No better guy to break it down. You can catch him on Counterattack on Sirius. He is Tony Meola. He is U.S. goalkeeping legend, and he joins us now. Tony, thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Yeah, Glenn, anytime. Hope all is well on your end. Obviously, not a great window for the U.S. right now.
No, not a good one. You know, where do you stand after watching this one today? And I'm sure you probably dove into it very deep on your show today. But what do you take away from this?
Well, a little bit concerned. And you know, anyone who knows me knows I'm not one to sort of jump off the ledge every time the U.S. loses a game. But after 3 years getting to this point in the World Cup cycle, just 55 days, I guess, before they kick off against Wales, a little bit concerned that we keep hearing more about style and this is the way we want to play. And I, you know, take these two games and two different types of games where you had a Japan side who really pressed the U.S. side. They couldn't find solutions to build out of the back. And a team in Saudi Arabia today really, for the most part, dropped off to about midfield. And we still didn't have solutions. I clearly understand that this team could look a lot different. And everyone keeps sort of hanging their hat on the fact, well, we're missing five guys. And, you know, Greg said that yesterday, and I'm with him. They are missing five guys and some important guys, and Chris Richards, Timothy Weah, Yunus Musa, you know, guys like that, that are really, really important pieces to the puzzle. But truth be told, I mean, we look lifeless, uninspired. I mean, you could use a bunch of different words, right, for the way that this team performed over the last 180 minutes, and that's a little bit concerning going into a World Cup.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. We're talking to Tony Meola, by the way, who has played in a World Cup, the former U.S. men's national team goalkeeping legend. You know, I want to go back to the prior match, and in that game against Japan, where Japan was just looked sharper, pressing the ball like crazy. They were hunting it in packs. I was very disturbed that the U.S. just continued to insist to try and play through them and not look a little bit more direct and just kind of get them through that rough period. I was just surprised that nobody took a hold of that on the field and pulled out that solution that needed to be integrated into the team in that first half.
Yeah, well, we've been talking the last couple of days about, you know, players with soccer IQ, right? Because And again, I'll go back. I say this all the time. I'm old school, right? For me, first 10 minutes of the game, especially leading into a World Cup, it's no frills in the beginning, right? I know you want it to look one way, but let's stretch the game a little bit. Let's put the ball in their half, play in their half. If you make a mistake, it's in their half of the field. It doesn't cost you. I came into this window thinking, okay, whatever we're going to do at the World Cup on November 21st against Wales is what we're going to do today. I feel like that's what's going to happen. We're going to try and build out of the back. And there's two ways to approach it, because the approach prior to this was like Tata Martino, Mexico. What did he do against the U.S.? He dropped off against the U.S. And he said, you know, let them have the ball at the back. They can't kill us at the back. I'm not going to get caught on a counterattack. It worked to some extent for Tata Martino, but then we found some goals in that game, and we end up winning the game. But the tactic itself worked throughout the game. Then you've got Japan, who pressed and pressed and pressed, and it was really the three guys sitting behind the forwards that were the guys that made the most or wreaked the most havoc in this press, if you will. So the idea that we're going to go and do that against Wales is crazy to me. And we were just talking for the last couple of days about soccer IQ. You know, you can pin this on Greg all you want. And of course, Glenn, as you know, when you lose, right, it's the manager, the guys make mistakes. But in the end, when you lose for a period of time or you sort of lose your way for a style of play, it's the manager's fault all the time, right? But truth be told, I mean, in all fairness to Greg, and believe me, I'm not happy with what Greg did, but we've got to put some blame on the players because, okay, coach says, Glenn, you want to build out of the back, and the idea is that you pass the ball to one of your, you know, from a center back position into one of the checking midfielders. But if you're in the game and you see it's not on, why do you play that ball? Because you're supposed to play it, or because that's the best pass? The soccer IQ should tell you, okay, that's too dangerous. That's going to come back down our throat. So there's a level of how much is it on the players, how much is it on Greg. Now, Greg's going to take the heat here because we were sold in the beginning that essentially we were going to change the way this national team looked, and we're going to be on, you know, we use all those terms, right? We're on the front foot, and we're going to possess the ball, and we just got to be effective with the ball. And I have this sort of theory, and it played out against Japan. I'm a fan of building out of the back. If I have a team, I want them to build out of the back. I don't, Glenn, want the ball in each sequence to go to both center backs two or three times, or maybe find the goalkeeper's feet two or three times, because that tells me I got a problem. And the problem is I don't have solutions to get into the middle third of the field and then the attacking third of the field, because it keeps coming back to my goalkeeper, or keeps coming back to my center backs. And once you get it wide, you got to have some solutions. And if you get it back to a center back, for me, it's got to go to the other side of the field, and you got to have a way to get out. And I think we got cold. We don't have those players. And okay, Aaron Long, I'm sure you're hearing it too, right? Is taking a little bit of a beating here. But Walker Zimmerman has given some balls away. Matt Turner has given in both games balls away. We're taking two center backs who, again, you cover the league. Red Bull doesn't build out of the back, and Nashville doesn't build out of the back. And then we come to the national team and we expect two center backs to build out of the back.
Yeah, we're asking guys to do something maybe they can't do. And I think you see that throughout MLS when we cover it. You're looking at center backs that are being asked to make the game, and it may be asking too much, right?
Yeah, and Greg was asked about that, and his answer was, well, they don't do it at their club, but they can do it. Mm. So I just think the national team... Eric Winalda made a great point today, I think, on our show. He said, you're a national team manager, right, is not there to teach. They don't have time to teach. You're learning at your club, and you're coming, and you're putting the players together that you think fit your system, and then you get together and you go, right, because you only got sometimes 2 days, 3 days tops on the field. I just think we have to put these guys in a better position. Today was a little bit better. Today there were a few more solutions. We saw early in the first first half, Walker Zimmerman hit a couple diagonal balls to relieve some pressure, found Weston McKennie on the other side of the field, found Christian Pulisic on the other side of the field. Then we got away from it a little bit. The lack of solutions in the final third of the field, everyone says it's scary. I don't feel like we even got to that point in the majority of these 180 minutes.
No, I agree with you. I don't think we looked dangerous at all. I didn't see the energy. And, you know, the reason I cited that example from the Japan game was simply because, you know, I'm just watching this game and I'm going, guys, it's 15 minutes. You've tried to play through them. 20 minutes. It's not working. Somebody just turn them, make them run back to their own goal, get out of your own half of the field for a while. And it may even, if you stick three or four balls behind them, that may get them to lighten up on their press a little bit. You don't know. But, you know, if you're going through a rough period, you got to recognize it, right?
Well, I asked Eric Winalda on the show yesterday, when did they play? Thursday, whatever it was, I forget. Yeah, Thursday. And we came on after, and I said, Eric, tell me what you did as a forward. The ball went out to the center back. You chased him once. You put the ball over the top. The ball went out to the center back again. You chased him again. It went over the top. I said, what did you do, like, the next couple times? He said, I didn't run anymore there. I didn't go waste managing. Now the game opened up just by doing something really, really simple. And I think, Glenn, that's what you're talking about. So I guess in theory, the lack of a plan B, right? And and again, I still put some of this on the players. I don't know that we have the players to do it for 90 minutes. We certainly should have the players to do it for a short period of time in games and build out of the back. There's a million ways to build out of the back. We're trying to build out of the back like we're Manchester City and Barcelona. And we don't have that type of player. Liverpool builds out of the back, but it's really, really quick, and it's really effective, and it gets forward really, really quick. I watch Milan, right? They've become a team that's been a possession team. But rarely do you see the center backs knocking the ball to each other. It's about getting forward in the first opportunity that you can, and they're not afraid to put the ball, as you mentioned, behind the back four. So I just want to see a little bit a few more ideas and maybe take some chances by spinning defenders. I feel like the defenders of the opposing teams over the last two games have probably found the game really easy to defend. And that's not good. They shouldn't feel that way.
Tony, who would you partner with Zimmerman? Does Chris Richards bump up here in the pecking order? I mean, I'm pretty sure we would have seen him if he wasn't injured.
Yeah, I'm sure we would have seen him. I don't know. I'm assuming it's going to be him. It's such a wild card, right? First, he's got to play every week at his club, and is there really a lockdown center back for you? Even Walker Zimmerman right now. I mean, I didn't think Walker Zimmerman was great over the last two games, but I suppose you got to stick with somebody, right? Because you just can't blow the whole thing up. I'm still a little bit shocked. I remember 2 years ago when Tim Ream's name was announced in a starting lineup, Twitter went mad, right? Like, I can't believe Tim Ream is in this starting lineup. And that's probably because John Brooks was here at the time. And now, though, would you be opposed after watching Tim Ream play and how composed he's been in the Premier League and competing and played every game in the championship last year? Would you be opposed to see him in this roster right now? I certainly wouldn't. The one thing that would stick out to me, and probably the quality we need the most, there's a guy that probably wouldn't be in awe of anything he saw over the last two games, yeah, based on what he does every week. You know, so, I mean, there's so many. We were trying to, and probably good exercise for you and your callers and listeners, what does the next, I guess, I don't know what the number is, but until November 9th, when Greg has to put that roster out, what does the next, like, 50 days or so look like for him? And behind the scenes, when you start thinking about the question marks that are in this group right now, it's a long way to get to a final 26. And, of course, everybody looks at the roster as if there's going to be no injuries. But, Glenn, we've seen this team has been battered with injuries over the last, through World Cup qualifying, starting with Gio Reyna, who goes out again today. Hopefully it's nothing, and it is precautionary. And you can imagine he is really jumpy with anything that he feels right now. But we've Yunus Musa, Tim Weah hasn't played in, it seems like, forever. I don't think he's played a game in at his club this year so far. Like, there's still a lot of question marks in this group.
Well, let's hope they all get at least there's some solutions to these things. People get healthy. World Cups can get derailed, as Tony knows very well, and World Cups can get better, and let's hope it looks better in the near future. You can catch Tony on Counterattack on Sirius along with Eric Winalda now. That's every weeknight, 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Tony is a soccer Hall of Famer. You do know that. And, of course, legendary goalkeeper. And we know him from way, way back in the early days of really helping establish the U.S. national team. Tony, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Hey, Glenn, by the way, it's not way, way back. It sounds better when you just say way back. Way, way back sounds really old.
Yeah, I don't mean way, way back. Hey, listen, you're aging gracefully. You still look in great shape. You look like you could go in goal. So, there's no slouch on you, man. You're doing great.
Keep up the great work, man. Enjoy being out with you. Thanks so much.
All right, Tony. Thank you. That's Tony Meola, Counterattack every weeknight, 4 to 7 p.m. on Sirius. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We got a couple of announcements, a couple of guests. We'll continue the talk on the U.S. Saudi Arabia. Mexico fans, are you convinced? You're playing Colombia tonight. 86 minutes. I don't think it was too good against Peru. So, CONCACAF teams have got their challenges. Chucky Lozano scores in the 87th in front of 62,000 at the Rose Bowl. By the way, most of the commentators I heard today were putting it on the players, the lack of motivation. There's all kinds of different things going on in that game today, and that game was played in front of, I think, about 1,000 people. No excuse if you're trying to make a U.S. national team, I would think. Quick word here before we go to break. I just want to tell you a little bit about Lamont Brands. LamontBrands.com. You go down to LamontBrands.com's website, you get the Soccer Matters t-shirt. All the proceeds go to the 501c charity, and it's called the Snowdrop Foundation. All proceeds. So get over there. There's five colors. I think there's a green one for Verde in Austin now. So we do appreciate LamontBrands.com. Also, quick hit here for Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, 2775 Fondren. Get over there. See Yan. It's the best in modern contemporary furniture. It is DanishInspirations.com, 2775 Fondren.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, the talk is going to continue. Hey, our newest sponsor is Cobo Zanito in the shadows of PNC Stadium in Minute Maid Park. Cobo's is owned by H-Town Proud's Raul Jacobo. He's a great guy, started off out of a food truck. Great open space, clean as a whistle inside. You could eat off the floor. This is going to be the place to watch World Cup 2022. So they're one of our newest sponsors here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters. Let's talk the food and drink there. Best in smoked barbecue quesadillas, birria quesadillas, smoked pork belly. Can't wait till Eddie Robinson gets to try some of this. We had it up here in studio. You liked it, Andrew. Variety of cocktails, large beer selection. They're always running specials. Get in 14 crystal clear monitors for Dynamo Dash, Astros, Rockets, Texans, International Soccer, and World Cup 2022. Now, to make you feel better, since this has been a rough day for the U.S., actually a rough two games, at least we're not France. Kylian Mbappe and his entourage are keeping a close eye from a distance on the Paul Pogba affair. If video evidence emerges of Pogba using a witch doctor to curse Mbappe, L'Equipe believe that there may be a problem between Pogba and Mbappe and Deschamps, and they may have to make a decision. So look, the good news is we have no witch doctors involved as of yet. All right. We're going to get Eddie Robinson and Victor Ariza on here shortly. Quickly, I got a minute and a half here with Paul Lepage. He's with the Wolves Supporters Group in Houston. Paul, how are you?
Doing good, Glenn. How are you?
I'm very good, Paul. Thank you for coming on. And I just want to give you a minute here and a minute and a half to talk about this great event you got going with Wolves.
Thank you. We are having what promises to be the largest independently organized collection of Wolves fans to meet in the US on Saturday. We decided that we were going to host a normal watch party. We were chatting with some of our fellow fans up in Dallas. We thought, let's do something Texas-based. But as we were doing that and interest grew, we decided to open it up nationally. So we've got fans flying in from New York, North Carolina, driving over from San Antonio and Austin. So we're on it's looking like we're going to have an excellent turnout, and it promises to be a really excellent event.
Paul, that's awesome. I like that. You know why? Because it's not United. It's not Liverpool. You know, it's Wolves. Now you're drawing Wolves fans in. Just quickly give people the information so we can get it out there for you, and then I'll do some stuff on social media for you.
Sure thing. Thanks, Glenn. We'll be meeting for the game at Platypus Brewery, which is on Washington. So that's a departure from our normal venue, but it's a slightly bigger capacity and central, more central in downtown. We're expecting between 30 and 50 Wolves fans, so it promises to be really good. Even if you've just got a passing interest in the EPL, you may not have a team, but you enjoy watching the games, you will be warmly welcomed in to come and watch with us. We take on West Ham away. It will be West Ham versus Wolves, and it's an 11:30 a.m. kickoff.
Excellent, Paul. And you know what I like about your Wolves supporters group and you? You've been in the studio here and have been on the show. You guys don't beat each other up. I like that.
That's right. There's no witch doctor in with us either, so I think we're pretty good.
All right. That's Paul Lepage, Wolves. That's a big event. We'll get some out on social media. Paul, thank you for coming on tonight.
Thanks, Ben.
Always. Hey, Paul was in studio. This guy could be a center back. He's about 6'4". All right, let's bring on Houston Dynamo, former defender. You see him as a color analyst on all the TV. He's Eddie Robinson, and we bring on from a striker, Victor Ariza. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on tonight. Let's start with you, Eddie.
By Glenn.
Yeah, let's start with you, Eddie, and then we'll get to Victor. Just some initial impressions on the U.S. game. I know you've been listening to the show and you heard Tony Meola. How about some of your impressions on the U.S.-Saudi Arabia game? I don't know if Eddie's there.
He may not be there.
All right. Victor, why don't you get us kicked off, U.S.-Saudi Arabia?
Not inspirational, right? I mean, I think that's the biggest takeaway. It's a bit worrisome. Because everybody wants to see the U.S., kind of go guns a-blazing into the World Cup, and it seems like offense seems to be the bigger problem. I think, but hopefully once the lights shine and once, national anthem plays and once the real feel of the World Cup comes around in less than 2 months, I mean, it'll be a whole different team. The only thing I think I kind of makes me a little bit sad also about these last two games is that, they're essentially in near empty stadiums out in Europe. I mean, there was no send-off series, right? There was an 8-year wait for the U.S. to come back to the World Cup, and it seems like there wasn't any celebration, right, to kind of send off the team here at home.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Instead, we decided to throw a party for Mexico for them to go to the World Cup out of the Rose Bowl. So 60-something people decided to make that a celebration. I wouldn't say Mexico looks particularly well going into this World Cup either, and I think both these squads have tremendous pressure on them. I think a month and a half ago, we would have said, wow, the U.S. is looking the better team heading into this World Cup. Right now, after this sample size of two matches, neither looks very good.
No, and I think, but I think this, and it does have to do with the offense, too, with Mexico. They're not generating a bunch of goals, right? But I don't think Mexico has been stumbling as much, right? I mean, I know the things that kind of happened with Mexico that there's a magnifying glass put on them is they didn't win the Gold Cup. They didn't win the Nations League, right? That was last year. You know, they lost in Cincinnati and in Canada, so those results get overblown. But ultimately, I think Mexico had a okay qualifying period to get to the World Cup.
You said okay.
Yeah, it's not spectacular, and I think that's it. But I do think, it's the usual pessimism around Mexico. I think once Mexico gets the World Cup, and they're obviously one of the best supported nations, I think it's a different animal. I think they'll get out of the group because Mexico always, for some reason, finds a way to do it, right? Before the last World Cup, right, it was how are they going to get out, with Germany being in there with them. 4 years before that in Brazil, the same concern because they had the host nation, Croatia, in there. 4 years before that, in South Africa, and they still got out. The problems with France and all that. But Mexico finds a way to get out of these moments. That's why I think they'll do fine. The U.S.
Well, they do,
US
but they don't get to the fifth game, and that's what the Mexican fan wants. The Mexican fan wants to get to a fifth game.
Right, and that's the thing. You don't see how this team is going to get to, farther along in the knockout stages, which is the real concern.
Yeah, and they've got Poland November 22nd, then Argentina. Those first two games are huge. Saudi Arabia is your team you saw today against the U.S. that will play Mexico. We bring in Eddie Robinson. Eddie, some initial thoughts from you on the U.S. Saudi Arabia today. I think everybody's a bit disappointed, and that may be an understatement.
I'm disappointed. I apologize. I was on mute when I was trying to talk. You brought me in, so sorry about that. But this for me was a very disappointing performance. I don't think Ricardo Pepi has any business being in this team. He was not mentally ready to move to Europe. He needed a few more years in the United States. He needed more criticism. He needed to be mentally tougher. And he's not mentally tough enough to play in Europe because European teams and coaches, they don't care. You perform, you're out the door. They don't care. So now he's already moved on to another team. And we'll see what this brings. But he had the fewest touches of anyone during the time that he was on the field of any American player. Matt Turner, the goalkeeper, had more touches than he did.
I would have predicted that before the game, though.
He gets subbed off, and Jesus Ferreira comes straight on, and within a couple minutes gets a shot on target. He puts himself in good places, in better places.
But don't you think Jesus Ferreira is the incumbent right now? It's his job to lose? I do.
I think
it's already determined. He's the number nine.
I think it is. And if my main concern now is who are going to be the wide players, if Greg Berhalter is going to play a 4-3-3, if it's Pulisic, and then, my biggest fear is, Giovanni Reyna, for as long as he was injured. And then he comes back, and now he's gotten injured again and taken off in the 30th minute.
So here's what I think. You're leading us into some good stuff here because injury is an issue. So you got guys coming back. You got guys that aren't playing a lot. Christian Pulisic did not look sharp today. Tim Weah hasn't been playing a lot. So this hopefully is all going to get rectified in the next 5 weeks. I do think the U.S. was missing a lot of energy without Yunus Musa in midfield and Anthony Robinson at left back. What do you think?
Well, I was going to bring up Yunus Musa. That's another one that's missing that this team needs. I mean, he kind of reminds me, maybe he's not quite at the level of, but he reminds me of Bukayo Saka, who plays for Arsenal and England, and what he did and how he changed that England-Germany game.
Don't burn Germany and England yet, because we'll get into that in the next segment.
Okay, well, Yunus Musa reminds me of Bukayo Saka and the way that he is able to create and make plays when a team is sitting in a deep block to beat players, to draw set pieces. I'm really interested to see who's healthy and what Greg Berhalter thinks is his best 11 in that first game of the World Cup against Wales.
So that's what
I'm
we learned.
Really interested to see.
That's what we learned today. A midfield of Tyler Adams, Kellen Acosta, and Weston McKennie doesn't have enough creativity. McKennie was trying to make these long, deep-lying runs to get in behind Saudi Arabia. But I agree with your point that Yunus Musa can do some things a little bit different. Off the dribble, with the ball at his feet, no question. So, I think that's pretty obvious. He goes back in there for Acosta. Victor, if I look at the center-back position with you, and we'll get into Eddie with this as well, Walker Zimmerman and who?
Yeah, that's a big question. I'd say you go with your best players, right? Or just best available time. I like Chris Richards. I'd like to see him at the World Cup. I know he might be a little bit young. Obviously the Robinson situation is complicated, that whole thing. Tim Ream is one I thought maybe that would have been a good one to get a look at, right? At least.
I don't think they need to take a look at him. He either goes or he doesn't. I think Greg Berhalter knows exactly who he is. I think Chris Richards brings you athleticism, not the experience next to Zimmerman. I don't think Long and Mark McKenzie showed enough. John Brooks is still floating around out there. What do you guys think?
Well, they
sound like
better.
I don't think he's good enough. I think Walker Zimmerman is the best center back that the U.S. has right now. I think he's the most consistent. But then you look at, and I agree with Victor, with Chris Richards. He's been battle-tested. He's been through the fire. He's been let go and put down and sent to a different team. But yet he's still going. And he's still performing at a high level. A high level enough to be called in. And this is where I say the difference is between Chris Richards and Ricardo Pepe. Chris Richards is more mature and has more experience being beat down mentally but still fighting back.
Chris,
if you ask any player that plays in any top league in the world, you're going to have to face some really hard criticism, especially if you're an American.
Well, I think Pepe's
done that.
Pepe's
got it back.
Yeah, Pepe's had a lot of criticism, though. He's under fire. But here's the thing. He's going to go to the World Cup. He's going to go because he rescued the United States against Honduras in World Cup qualifying. Jesus Ferreira is likely going to be the starter unless there's injury or something derails it. What about Jordan Pefock? I mean, I want you guys to ponder Jordan Pefock. Should he go to the World Cup?
He's killing it. Right
yeah,
now.
You guys.
He's killing
we're
it.
Gonna,
right now.
Yeah, we're going to. Let us get. Eddie, let us get the break. That. Let us get the break. We'll come back. You'll start on Pefock. We're going to go to break now because Andrew wants to get the break. We'll come back. We'll continue this thought on Jordan Pefock being added as a striker. We'll start with you, Eddie, then you, Victor. We'll also get into some England, Germany. We're talking to Eddie Robinson, former Houston Dynamo defender. You catch him on all the AT&T Sportsnet broadcasts. Victor Ariza of The Striker. As we go to break, just a reminder, this show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, committed to working for you 24/7. So if you get in any type of an accident, it's a nervy time. Few things are worse than an injury to family members. That's when you call the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual, DaspitLaw.com on your side, 713-322-HURT, DaspitLaw.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.